3, 2, Lost Radio.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio broadcasting station. Broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Sunday evening, April 27, 2008. It is now 8:01 p.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Good evening, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. Or email your comments anytime to comments@libertytalkradio.com. I encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. He discusses economic issues and how they affect you. And today, that is critical, folks. We need to know what is really going on and not rely on mainstream media. Go to mytwocentsonline.com, and that two is a numeric two. And listen to Andy. He has a website, not only a website, he has a free newsletter and a subscription newsletter. I highly recommend both. I would also like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Good evening, everyone. This evening, it is my pleasure to introduce soon Mr. Tim Cox. He is the founder of Get Out of Our House, better known as GO. It's pronounced just GO, G-O-O-O-H. This is a nonpartisan plan to evict 435 politicians from the U.S. House of Representatives and replace them with everyday people like you and me. This is certainly an ambitious effort, but one whose time has come. I'd like you to join in this conversation, please, 646-652-4620. We will have four lines open after our caller calls in. Folks, this is a critical time in our, not only our political lives, but our economic lives. What Tim Cox is attempting to do is remove all of the people that are in office who are tied to government, the industrial military complex, attorneys, all people with connections, and replace them with just everyday folks as our founders had originally intended it to be. That is, people serve for 2 years in the House of Representatives, and then they go back to their jobs. And that's why they only had 2 years. And this gobbledygook that you hear, well, we need someone with a lot more experience, is actually in contrast with the intention of the founding fathers, where they just wanted the common Joe, just the average citizen, to serve in the House of Representatives, and for 2 years. And they made it 2 years because they knew people had to get back to their farms. They had to get back to their jobs, and they could not afford to stay away for more than 2 years. What we have now, folks, is we have people who have created dynasties, and of course, their mantra is, elect me, I have experience. I've been there for 20 years. No, we want those bums out. Now, there are a few congressmen who are good and really trying to make a change. But for the most part, most of the congressmen, and especially those that are idealistic when they go in and they want to change the system, get so fed up, those are the ones that leave. Those that embrace the system that we abhor stay. And then, for some reason, we continually reelect them. We need to change the way we vote for our people. And this is what we're going to talk about tonight. I'm waiting for our call to call in. He should be calling in within 1 minute. And I would love for my listeners to please call in to 646-652-4620 and subscribe to this program. by hitting the subscriber button on our website, and you'll just get a friendly reminder. It's a very pretty little reminder of what show is coming up and what the topic will be. I do encourage you to do so because I'd like you to listen. This is an educational program, and it is unlike the mainstream media that is strictly human interest stories of very little value to you in your life other than keeping you from thinking. All right, and I believe our guest is on the line. Good evening. Is this Tim?
Yes, it is, Joe. How are you tonight?
Fine. Thank you so much for calling in, Tim. I just finished your introduction. But I would like for our listeners to hear an introduction from you and a little bit more comprehensive. I just gave the briefing that the little that I knew about you. So let me give you a couple of minutes, and why don't you tell us who you are, where you're coming from, and how you wound up where you are today?
Okay, well sure. I live in a little town northwest of Austin, Texas. It's called Liberty Hill, coincidentally. But I think I'm no different than you or probably most of the people in America that I'm very concerned about the future of our country and what politicians are doing to it. And I don't see any good way that we can affect the change that we all know is needed if we continue to reelect 95% of the incumbents election after election. The process is broken. We all see that. And it doesn't matter which issue you pick. If you pick the deficit or immigration or the environment or health care, dependence on oil, there's hundreds of issues. And we know they need to be addressed, but politics and politicians will never address those issues, and we can get into why that's the case, and I think most of us get it. So I started with just a deep frustration saying, look, I'm really worried about the future of our country for our kids and our grandkids. What's the state of America going to be 50 years from now if we can continue to spend more money than we have, if we continue to promise handouts to every person that thinks they need them more than we take in taxes, who's going to pay those bills and what's the future of the country? So I sat down, and I'm not a politician at all, and as we get into the GO system, you'll see that we're not pushing any particular view. We don't lean left or right in the system. Now, each of us that participate obviously have a leaning, but the system is nonpartisan, so we'll talk about a GO nonpartisan party.
Right.
What we said is, look, the system is broken. We need change. I'm not a politician. What I am is a computer scientist and a problem solver. I've got a degree in computer science from the University of Texas. I've got a master's in business administration. I've had a very successful high-tech career. But so fed up with the system and how it's working, I said, look, there's got to be a better way. And one day my son challenged me. He said, well, Dad, if you think you're an inventor and a problem solver, why don't you fix this problem?
What a challenge that must have been for you. I have to ask, what was your initial response to that comment?
Well, it was kind of a, we chat a lot. We have a great relationship. And I thought, okay, well, let me think about that.
Was it an epiphany of some sort? Or
it was in a way. I was going through a strange period in my life. I'd always coached my children's teams in sports and been very involved with them as they were growing up. And I knew that once they entered high school sports, my youngest, and I wasn't coaching or doing any of that, I wanted to do something different. I didn't want to just continue to work in corporate America. I wanted to go and try to make a difference. And so here I saw something that I'm really frustrated with. I was going through this period of my life where I was ready to do something different. I went through a sequence of kind of personal tragedies, I guess, that we all go through at times. My mother came down with cancer and passed away very quickly. A good friend committed suicide. My father had a heart attack, dropped over, and passed away. My son kind of issued this challenge. And all in this time, I said, I think I do know how we could solve this problem. So I set out, I wrote the book, Get Out of Our House Revolution, that lays out what we're talking about in great detail. But more importantly, we created a system. I'm working with a dozen colleagues that I've spent years working with, some of the best computer scientists and businessmen, I think, in the country. And we built this nonpartisan system. If you remember the movie with Kevin Costner, Field of Dreams?
Yes.
And the line, if we build it, they will come. That was kind of our goal. We said, look, we think we've built the system that will let the modern-day incarnations of Madison and Franklin and Jefferson step out of those proverbial cornfields and go to Washington and do the work that we know must be done. We can't continue to elect career politicians and expect stuff to change. It just will not. We can get into why that is. But if you put all of that together, right, I'm not a political person. I'm not trying to push my personal views. What I'm trying to do is build this system and get the people of America to rally around the system. We originally set out and said, look, if we can get enough people in 2008, we'll force change in 2008. If we can't get it this year, then we'll just continue to build our base of supporters and we'll go for 2010. And if not 2010, 2012. The unfortunate part is we know the situation is not going to get any better with politicians. I'm personally concerned how long we can put off changing in the way that we need to change. But, you know, one person and one group of people, we can only do so much. So we've built the system. We've had over 80,000 people come to our website. We've had tens of thousands of people join the system. We've had people actually make contributions, and we're not even asking for the contributions yet. There's a way to make them, but the money's not important. What's important is how can we get enough people in America to know that we finally have a choice, and when we have enough people, then we can raise the money, and then we're going to force the change that we all know is needed.
Well, if this was a collective effort, there must have been many ideas that were placed on the table. How did you arrive at this particular venue, this particular strategy, over, let's say, I'm sure, others that were presented? How did this come about? Because this is a very, very unique, by the way, as you know.
Yeah, if you go to our website, go.com, GOOH.com, and it stands for Get Out of Our House. But what you'll see is version one of the system, which was my personal thoughts. I wrote the book, and I kind of built the first system. We ran focus groups, we issued surveys, and collected as much information as I could and built the system. I had 11 guys helping me build and shape the system, but it all started with my personal opinion. Now, what we're doing is as people join the system, there's discussion forums. They can get in there and propose changes or, hey, maybe we need to do it this way or that way.
Yeah.
And the system's set up so that we'll take those that input and we'll let the members vote. Right now there's a survey you can take, and it's going to help shape where we go from here. I initially proposed that we exclude three groups of people. I suggest that we should exclude members of political families,
right,
that we should exclude practicing lawyers, and that we should exclude people of what I deemed excessive wealth. And I'm not saying that any of those three groups are bad people, but if you look at who makes up the House of Representatives, it's those three groups of people.
Right.
So we said, let's give other people a chance. Now,
right,
what we're doing is we're surveying the members, and we're asking the most basic question, look, should we exclude anybody? Maybe that's not the right solution. Or should we just let, you know, the way the process works, when we get into that, let each of the people that participate in the process determine who to exclude?
Right.
And so
now,
I'm not trying to push.
If I was on your committee, if I was, mm-hmm, one of your committee, and which I applaud your efforts, by the way, I'm on board with you 100%. But most people say, well, I'm the eternal optimist, blah, 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 you know. Now, I've been in business for many years. You have to be an optimist to get up, you know, 4 or 5 o'clock every morning, worry about a job 24 hours a day. Because if you weren't an eternal optimist, then you would never wake up the next day and you'd shut everything down. So inherently, you have to be an optimist in order to be successful in business. And I've been successful in a few things. Now, when it comes to government, however, I'm the eternal optimist, pessimist rather. I mean, I don't see a way out of this. If I was sitting around the table with a group of the people that you elected, and assuming I was one of them, I would have said, I agree with you guys, but you're all nuts. This could never work. This could never happen. I mean, this is a Herculean effort. Now, I'm sure someone must have said that during that during your negotiations or your strategy sessions.
You bet, all the time. And so, start off with it. You know, what you first described is a classic paradox, right? Anybody in life that's successful is an optimist. I've yet to find
that's correct.
That. Maybe there's a few.
Right. If you're a pessimist, you stay in bed and you say, well, it's not going to happen. I'm not getting up. But I'm saying that this is where I am. I mean, I'm the type that I'm retired now. I'm still up at 5:30 in the morning and I'm going like gangbusters 24 hours a day. So, you know, but when it comes to this, I've been in the quasi political arena now for about 10 years or so. And the more I learn, the more discouraged I get. And I, I that's why I was so interested in hearing from you, to see how you arrived at this and how you overcame the objections from people who were talking like me just now in your own strategy group.
Well, okay, so start with, I'm a big believer in the bell curve of people. So, there's the exceptionally optimistic people and the exceptionally pessimistic people, and there's that big bubble in
right.
between. So for what we're doing, the people in the bubble in between and those exceptionally optimistic people, we all know that there's change needed, and we all smart enough to look at it and say, it ain't going to happen with the people that's up there. We need to do something different. You know, and so you have groups that are saying, well, let's just vote out the incumbent and let's vote in the other party. Well, that will tell people we need change, but it's not going to drive the change we need. But ultimately what we say is, look, the people that are just pessimists, hey, we hear you, but sit on the sidelines and give us time. I've had a very successful high-tech career. It sounds like you've had a very successful career as well. And you know, one thing I've learned is I don't listen to the pessimists. One of the things that we invented was the credit card reader and the gas pump system.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. When we came up with that idea and we started pitching that to the major oil companies, I can't tell you how many major oil companies said, hey, we love the idea, but, you know, we love your passion about the idea, but this is the dumbest concept you've ever heard. And that's when you're in that. Put your credit card when you're $50 purchases, right? And the oil companies all wanted people to come into their store, so we had to convince them, no, this is a good idea. What you want is you make your money selling gas, the volume of gas, have shorter lines by having people use the card. And we found two companies, Shell and Mobil, that said, okay, we'll give this a try. And, of course, these things are ubiquitous worldwide now.
Right, so right. Wonderful.
Yeah, if we just listened to the pessimists, we said, oh, it's a dumb idea, we'll go away.
Right,
I worked at that company for 10 years. We were highly successful. It was very good for us. Then I went to a little company here in Austin. You may have heard of it. It's called Dell. A guy named Michael Dell had the idea that we're going to bypass the middleman.
Right.
We're not going to sell computers through the retail channels. And you know how many people told him, oh, that'll never work, that's a dumb idea.
Apparently he wrote a paper in school about that, and his marketing professor told him it would never work and gave him a C or a C minus on his paper or something like that.
Yeah. So, the story repeats time and time again, right? Bill Gates, when he bought MS-DOS from IBM, oh, that's a little thing, it'll never go anywhere.
Yeah.
Like the people, I think, that have vision and that the commitment and the optimists that are ready to make something happen, they'll take that and they'll drive forward and they'll take the pessimists and that will fuel them. Now, we all know that, you know, when you're entrepreneurial, that you're going to fail at times and things aren't always going to be rosy. Sometimes it takes longer than others. But you got to start with that spark and that vision. And if it's one thing we do know, innovation, if it's obvious, it wouldn't be innovative. So we think this idea that we have can really, truly work. It's only a function of the people of America learning that we're here. Our strategy this year was to do talk radio and to try to get newspaper interviews and magazine interviews across the country, build a regional base. And as we built that, we thought the national speaking opportunity would follow. And imagine if you were listening to this on 60 Minutes or Larry King Live or, you know, whatever national show, you know, the Sean Hannity or Glenn Beck or MSNBC, it doesn't matter. That would all of a sudden give this concept credibility and millions of people that would know about it.
Right.
And we believe, as we've done surveys and as we've told this story, there's people out there that say, hey, it can't work, but the vast majority want it to work. And it's only a function of people participating that will make this work or not work.
Right.
So we'll sit here and we'll continue to build our base. As I mentioned, we've had over 80,000 people that have already checked out what we're doing, and that number is growing each and every day.
All right. I want to get back to that. Excuse me. Just let me give me a second for station identification. Folks, this is Liberty Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano. I'm interviewing Tim Cox from GO, G-O-O-O-H. That's Get Out of Our House. And you can learn more about his program by going to G-O-O-H.com, right? Oh, no, I guess it's GetOutOfOurHouse.com. Is it not, Tim?
Yep. Yeah. Three O's.
Right. And we're going to throw the bums out. That's what we're going to do. Right, Tim? And we're going to replace them with people that are just like you and me. Now, you said you had about 80,000. Oh, by the way, folks, I know you're listening out there. Don't be afraid. Put your fingers on the dial, 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. Let's get some interaction here. Come on. We have four lines open. Let's use them, folks. Tim, you have 80,000 people. Did you have 80,000 people register to sign up to join the movement, so to speak? I did, so I'm one of them. So
yeah, no, we've had 80,000 people come to the website.
Yeah,
and we've had I don't know the exact number, but I would say it's approaching 10,000 who have become members of the system.
Did you say 70,000?
10,000.
Oh, 10,000, okay.
Of the system.
Okay. Now,
we've had visitors from not only just the United States, we've had people from 102 different countries visit the website.
That's
fabulous. Counting on the power of the internet to let this word spread, and you can see how this is reaching out all over the world.
Right. Oh, that's wonderful. Now, your goal is 500. Is that 500 people who are joining sort of the system?
Our goal is to have 500,000 members participate in the selection process. Maybe I can give you a quick rundown on how the process.
Yeah, right. I need a definition there for that. And
okay.
Could you hold on 1 second? We have a caller. Could you hold on and just hold on to that thought, please? Caller, your first name and where you're calling from. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, this is Jared. I'm calling from Simi Valley, California.
Thank you for calling in. Well, you have a question or a comment?
I just wanted to. I'm also a host here on BlogTalkRadio.com, and so I thought this is a fascinating subject. So I wanted to get a little bit more. Idea about, is it, I mean, I understand it's a nonpartisan, but are there particular, because quite often nonpartisan, there's still a certain direction that you want things to move. I mean, is there a particular agenda that you guys have in mind that this movement is all about?
So the agenda that we have is to return control of the government to true representatives of the people and to take control of the government away from political parties and politicians and special interest groups. Right? The idea that we have is we want every person in America that's interested to go to our website at gooh.com and answer a questionnaire, 100 questions, yes or no, and document how they would vote if they were sitting in the office in Washington, D.C. today. And what we intend to do, once we get enough people participating in the process, is we'll take everybody that answers those questions and we'll randomly sort them into pools of 10 within their congressional district. Now, we ran focus groups, and what we've done is developed a process where each pool of 10 will sit down for 4 or 5 hours on a Saturday morning, and they will choose the two best people among that pool of 10 that can represent them. In San Francisco, we suspect that's going to be a very left-leaning, liberal person. In Colorado Springs, we suspect that's going to be a very right-leaning, kind of Republican-minded person. The system doesn't care. What we're trying to say is let the people of the district choose. And what will happen is in those pools of 10, each pool of 10 will choose two people. Those two people will advance. The next weekend, you'll have new pools of 10, but fewer pools overall. And those pools, again, will use the exact same process, looking at the exact same answers to the questions and considering personality, communication skills, success in life, whatever they want to consider, and they'll choose two people. And you'll go through 3 or 4 or 5 rounds until ultimately one person rises to the top in each of the 435 congressional districts. And those people will become the 435 go candidates. So whether, they answer every question as a hardcore left-leaning liberal would, or every question as a hardcore right-leaning conservative would, doesn't matter. It's up to the people that participate in the process to choose that person. We think that's what our founding fathers intended when they set up representative government, and that's what we're trying to recreate.
Oh, that's great.
And we've done focus groups. And what we found is it really, really works very well. If you sit down, you can imagine if you have 8 left-leaning people and 2 right-leaning people, well, you know what? 2 left-leaning people are going to be chosen in that pool. And conversely, if you have 8 right-leaning and 2 left-leaning, 2 conservative people are going to bubble up. And if it's 50-50, you're going to get one of each. And the people that bubble up in any pool of 10 that we've seen are superb candidates. So it starts with how do you answer those questions? That kind of defines a personality profile for how you're likely to vote once you're in office, right? But then you have to have all the other requisite skills that you would expect somebody that's going to go to Washington. That's a very important, powerful job to have. Right. The people that are chosen are generally either very educated or very successful in business or both. They have superb communication skills, superb interpersonal skills, and we suspect as you go through 3 or 4 or 5 rounds, the quality of the people is only going to improve.
That's great. Yeah, I'm going to go sign up.
You know, we hope you will. And what we find is we've done surveys, you know, on-the-street surveys, internet surveys, phones, it doesn't matter. What we find is when we issue these, if you take a sample, about 20% are going to be skeptical or pessimist, right? And about 60% are going to be, oh, wow, this is the greatest thing I've ever heard. And then about 20% somewhere in the middle are like, yeah, okay, I think I want to learn more about this. And so what we're trying to do right now is simply spread the word and get the people of America to learn that we're here. We were on talk radio, or have been on talk radio in about 50 different cities, and every time we go on, we've been on in San Francisco and Sacramento and Los Angeles and, you know, Boston, Chicago, Orlando, Houston, I mean, all over the country. And everywhere we go, we find that we'd get 1,000 or so people that would come to our website and check us out, and then, you know, just kind of proportionally, you'd see the members that click and stay involved. We actually have people that are making donations today. We were shooting for the 2008 election as people sent their money in, and we did not get the critical mass we needed this year. We've offered refunds. We've had a total of 4 people say, hey, I want my money back. So we think the idea resonates, and it's simply a matter of getting enough people to know that we're here. We'll continue building. We would have liked to have been you know, on the ballots this year, but we're not going to make it. But in 2010, we'll see where we are.
Yeah, I think it sounds great. What's great about it is that now I have access to information about potential candidates, very easy access to potential candidates, and I can compare them, almost like, you know, almost like when you're looking for a new computer.
Yeah, and more importantly, so we're going to actually go a step further. The questionnaire that's on our website, the 100 questions we want you to answer, we're going to ask you to sign a legally binding agreement that says if you were to get selected in your district to represent that district, you'll vote exactly the way you answered on those 100 questions.
I think that's great.
Put some accountability back into the system. Now we also leave an out. So let's say you get up there and you say, oh, wait, I've learned something different. I said I'd vote for line item veto, but now I see why I can't. There's actually a way you can change your position. You just cannot do it unilaterally. You're going to have to get the approval of the members of your district to change your position. What we're trying to do is prevent these guys that say, hey, I'm never going to raise taxes, and then they do, or yes, I'm going to vote for term limits, and then they don't, right? They just flat out lie, and they get in and say, oh, well, wait, you know, we've got control of the House. We don't need term limits anymore. Well, wait, that's what we elected you for. So we believe that we can not only take the money out of the system, which is something else we might want to talk about, but we're going to put accountability back into the system.
Yeah, well, I think it's a really good match because that is one of the problems that happens, right? They just kind of go, people make up their own mind, and then once you're in office, for getting you out of office is next to impossible.
Well, and that ties to the money, right? If you think about it, to get into office, you have to do 3 things today, and I don't see any way around these 3 things. Number one is you have to affiliate with a party. Right. We know that less than 1%, it's almost like 0.1% now, that aren't affiliated with one of the 2 parties cannot get in. And when the party puts you in, they're not putting you in there to say, you know, hey, John, go do what you know, whatever you want to do. They're getting up there and they're telling you exactly how to vote. If you look at George Bush, he went through the first 6 years and he didn't have to veto a single item because the party was so lockstep on here's what we're going to do. And then as soon as the Democrats take over, he's trying to veto everything or threatening to veto. The corollary to that is, you know, look at Joe Lieberman, number 2 man in the Democratic Party in 2000. Here we come along in 2006, and he's not lined up with the Democratic Party's position on the war. So what do? They completely run him out of his office. So he goes from number 2 in the party to a complete outcast because he didn't agree with them on one issue. So of these back to the core thing, you have to align with your party and do exactly what you're told, not what you believe is right. The second problem is you have to raise $1 million. There are very few people that can win office with less than $1 million in funding today. And where are you going to get that $1 million? You're going to get it from special interest groups, and they're not going to give it to you, you know, Joe or Tim or Mary or whoever, because we're great people. They're going to give it to us because they want legislative favors in return. And then the third thing is once you get elected, as you mentioned, they get up there and they all want to get reelected again, right? They taste that power, they like that power, and it's not what our founding fathers intended. They didn't intend somebody to go up there and serve 20 terms. So you have these three kind of people that you're serving, the party, the special interest group, and yourself and your own personal career. Well, where's you and me on that list, right? The people that they're supposed to be serving. We're at best number four on that list, and that's the problem, and that's why government's broken today.
I like it. Thanks. Thanks for having me on the call, Joe. And Tim, I'm definitely going to be checking out the website.
Yep, check it out, yeah. And we hope that you'll tell every person that you know, right? We're getting all of our support momentum or people like you. You know, you email your friends, you go blog on this stuff, and you can just see this spreading across the country. And if we can get a million or so folks to understand what GO can do, we can raise the money, and we can go truly take over what we're trying to do. You know, Joe asked early in the call, you know, this is such a wild idea. How do you really think we can do something about it? It's a function of the people. If you sit down and talk with your friends about this and think about what, you know, what we're saying and how this works, the political parties cannot stop a movement of the people. We have to rally together, and we can take them on, but we need to take them on in a nonpartisan manner. And I think that's what we set out to do, and I think that's what's going to happen.
I think it's great. Yeah, yeah. I'll definitely be spreading the word.
Jared, what is the name of your Blog Talk Radio, please?
Oh, it's Words Cause.
Words?
If you go to blogtalkradio.com/wordscause or wordscause.com.
And what type of station is that? What's your genre? Is it political?
We do a variety show. So we are right in the middle of doing a show about women entrepreneurs.
Okay.
And we've got some shows coming up about the environment. We've got some shows coming up about relationships. But everything relates back to people seizing opportunities.
Oh, very good. Okay, well, I wish you luck. I just wanted to give you some airtime on that. Okay, and thank you very much for calling in.
Thank you, guys.
All right, bye-bye now.
Bye.
Well, Tim, I'd like to take a second, and I have to admit something to everyone on the air that I'm not too bright. So you're going to have to walk through with me on this, okay? Now, how many participants have you have signed up and filled out that 100-question questionnaire?
It's approaching 10,000. I haven't looked in the last couple of weeks. I don't think we're over that, but we're getting close to 10,000.
Okay. Now, how many is that the number that you're looking to, the 500,000? You're looking for 500,000 to participate, to fill out that questionnaire? Is that what your goal is? Okay, very good. All right, just want to make sure I understand where we are, and I want to make sure I understand. Now, I think I understand the process, but let's go over it just slowly because I'm not sure if I'm clear. Let's assume that I have not filled out. I just joined the group just yesterday or today or this morning. Okay. And I when I have some time, I want to fill out the questionnaire. Right? So I fill out this 100-question questionnaire, right?
Mm-hmm.
Submit it. Now, what happens to that questionnaire? Can you walk through that process for me?
Okay. So the questionnaire is probably the most difficult part of this, and that it's going to force you to really think through, you know, a lot of issues. We ask very hard questions. You know, would
right.
you vote for a balanced budget? Would you vote for a line item veto? Would you vote for the fair tax? Would you vote, you know, there's questions about education, gun control, immigration, you name it. So
right.
you're going to have to answer those questions, yes or no.
Right.
And that's what we're hoping. We're going to get 500,000 or more. I mean, personally, I hope we get 5 million.
Okay, I'm with you there. Okay.
Right? And so the way it'll work, right, is we're going to take everybody that answers those questions. Once we have enough, so it's not going to be in 2008, we hope it'll be 2010, right? And we'll sort them into pools of 10. So let's say that we get 1 million people that answer those questions.
Okay.
We're going to randomly sort them into 100,000 pools of 10.
Okay.
Each of those pools of 10 are going to go and meet in an assigned location, likely a high school in their area, on a Saturday morning. It'll be around June of 2010. Let's say we've got the people year
okay.
after next. And you 10 people are going to sit down, and you can go through a process that's documented in the book, and it'll be posted on the internet when we get to that time. And you're going to follow a very simple process where you do the one-on-one interviews with each of the nine other people. You get a chance to kind of speak and say, here's what I believe in and what I'm against. And you go through, and it's a well-documented process, and then you're going to vote. And in your pool of 10, y'all are going to choose two people that will best represent that group. So if you sit down and you say, look, there's three people over here that I disagree with on 80 or 90% of the issue, you're never going to vote.
Right.
And they're never going to vote for you.
Right.
But what we find is, and it goes back to that bell curve, you're going to have a few people that lean way, way to the right, and you're going to have a few people that lean way, way to the left.
Correct.
And those people tend to get eliminated.
Right.
Right. And then of the pool in the middle, right, of those six or seven people that kind of make up the fast part of the curve, everybody's going to be choosing one of those two, right? And so two people out of that group will be chosen, and they will advance to the next round. So in the first, remember, we had 100,000 pools of 10. Two people get chosen, so now you have 200,000 people left. That next weekend, you'll have 20,000 pools of 10.
Okay, so every week you're going to do this until you go through the entire 1 million. And assuming they're equally around equally distributed throughout the United States, so all each district will have enough to go through. Is that correct?
Yeah, and so the truth is you could have 100 people participate in one district, and you could have 100,000 participate in the other district. And all that means is the first district would have three rounds, and that other district would have six rounds.
Okay. Excuse me. Give me a second for station identification. Folks, this is Liberty Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano. Being interviewed today is Tim Cox, founder of GO, that is Get Out of Our House. That's G-O-O-H. And
Triple O.
I'm sorry. That's right. Triple O-H. Thank you. Which is a nonpartisan plan to evict the 435 politicians currently in the U.S. House of Representatives and replacing them with people like you and me. Please call in 646-652-4620, 646-652-4620. I know you're out there. I know you're listening. Please call in. Don't be afraid. Get your fingers on that button and start pushing them. Okay. All right. So let's assume that a district has a very large number of participants, and let's assume they have you receive 10,000 questionnaires from this one district. Mm-hmm. Now, break that down for me. How is that? I'm having a difficult time visualizing how that's working.
So in that district, you're going to have 1,000 pools of 10 that all meet on the first Saturday in June.
All right, yep. Yeah.
Each of those 1,000 pools are going to meet at a different location. And each of the pools of 10 are going to go through the process that we documented, and they're going to choose the two best people in that pool that can represent them.
So you're going to have 1,000 meetings going on.
That's right. All in parallel.
Wow.
But likely at different places.
Yeah.
Right? So you might have high school A, high school B, high school C. And so what we do is, right, there's 660,000 members in a district, and so you get down to, well, how many high schools does that break down into? And you'll see when you become a member, we ask what high school you're in, and we're just going to randomly assign people to the high school. Now, our belief is we'll be able to get the administrators of the schools to open the doors and have a room where the people can sit down and meet. But if not, the 10 people will show up at the high school at 9 o'clock in the morning, and they'll have to figure out where they're going to go sit down.
Right, but it's always groups of 10.
Always groups of 10.
It seems unrealistic, but it's not, because if people actually have sat down and completed the 100 questionnaire, if they went through all of that, they would attend a meeting. That's the assumption,
absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
I know if I filled out the questionnaire and then I was called to a meeting, I most likely would go unless I'm out of town or something like that. Now, what if a person is out of town that week but still wants to participate, can't make it on that particular Saturday? What happens then?
They can't participate. You must be there. Right?
You must be there. There's no substitutes, or you go to another week or something like that, right?
No.
Okay.
And here's our belief is, effectively what you're doing is you're interviewing for 435 of the most important jobs in the world. And if there's anything more important than going through that interview process, then you probably don't seriously want that job.
Right? Agreed.
Hey,
okay.
A soccer game or, you know,
right.
I mean, this is a very, very important position.
You mean me doing my white laundry doesn't cut it, huh?
No. And now, when you have a million people participate, most of those people probably don't really want to be selected, but what they want to do is they want to force change, and they want to select a person that they think is a good, quality person that's going to go up there and do what they say.
Okay.
And so 80% of those people, 800,000 of the million, they're done after that first weekend.
Right. Now, let me ask you this. Let's assume for a second the 10 get together and say, hey, we all want to elect good old Charlie. He's our man. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie doesn't want to do it. I mean, Charlie wants to participate, but he doesn't want to run for office.
So what we ask is everybody participate. Even if you don't want to go to office, you should participate.
Right. So Charlie's participating, but he doesn't want to run for office. What happens to Charlie, although he's the one that we selected in our group?
So here's what we're going to say is on the next to last round, you have to declare, if elected, will you serve?
Okay.
And here's what we found as we ran focus groups and tested this process. People will be hesitant to participate at first until they see and understand what's going on. And they'll say, well, yeah, I'll participate. I don't want to win, but I'm going to go in and I'm going to help choose. And
right.
After they are chosen, if you then ask the people, if you're selected by your peers, will you serve your country and go do this job? 100% of the people that have been chosen in our focus groups have answered that question, yes.
Now, that is fascinating.
Right, but here's our belief. So, Joe, imagine you have no interest in going to do that, and you sit through three or four or five rounds, and you're participating not because you want to go serve, but because you want to help choose, and you keep getting selected.
Right.
And now you get to that next to final round, and we say, Joe, you've risen to the top of this system. Your peers think you'd be a great person to go
right.
represent your country. Can you not give 2 years of your life to go do that? All right, I've got a nephew over in Iraq, and right, we all know people that serve the country militarily and otherwise. You know, what more patriotic thing could you do if you're selected by your peers than to go straighten the mess up in Washington?
Right. All right, now, let's assume good old Charlie rises to the top and then finally agrees to run, to be a candidate. What party does he run in? Does he run as a Democrat or Republican, or does he is it a third independent, or how what happens then?
So what we're going to do is we're creating the GO party, and again, it's a nonpartisan party. There'll be, you know, Republican and Democratic folks that rise to the top of the system, and that's okay. That's what representative government is. But we're going to create a GO party in each of the 50 states, and you'll continue to have your Republican and Democratic choices on the ballot. And now we're going to add a GO party candidate in each of the 435 districts.
Right.
It may be that you have one of these superb representatives that's up there today, and there are some very, very good ones that should stay in office, right? And then when you go to vote, you can say, well, look, I can vote for this, you know, guy that's representing Party A, or I can vote for this person that's Party B that I think is superb, or I can vote for my GO candidate.
Right.
Well, if you still want to vote for the guy that's there or somebody that's one of the two parties, that's perfectly okay. All we're doing is putting another choice on the ballot, but it's going to be a choice that's not a career politician, that's not affiliated
Correct.
With one of the two parties, and that did not take a penny from any special interest group.
I have to ask, this is dumb. I have to admit, because my mind wanders and it gets dumb sometimes. And I should say sometimes. Most people say, Joe, that's not sometimes, it's all the time. But could you call your party None of the Above? I mean, would that not give you a leg up on everybody else if you called it None of the Above? Because everyone is so damn sick and tired that even if they didn't know what the GO party, how it evolved, you know, if it was called None of the Above, people would vote for it.
That's actually a brilliant idea. If that was the party name, I've never heard of that, but I think that's a really good idea. And I think people would do exactly what you say. And a lot of this is going to be people just want choice. They want something different than the two parties. Here's our belief is that the GO party right now, right, we're kind of toiling in obscurity while we try to build this space. But there's going to come a point, we hope it's in 2010, we hoped it was going to be in 2008, where we're going to get the national opportunity to tell this story. And it's not going to be tens of thousands of people that visit our website. It's going to be hundreds of thousands and millions of people, and this is going to be the talk at every water cooler around the country. And every person, not only in the United States, but in the world, are going to know that there's change coming, and it's change within the existing system and the existing process. And when that day comes, I think that people will know the Go Party is on the ballot. Our candidates, you're going to be able to go see on these 100 questions exactly how they said they will vote. And by the way, it's not going to be exactly the Republican platform or exactly the Democratic platform.
Let's hope not.
Well, no, I mean, everybody...
Yeah, let's hope not, you know.
If you think about this, right, the two parties, they've got a really almost impossible situation. If you take two issues, I don't care what two issues it are, but let's say it's taxes and abortion, okay? The two parties would say, look, you have to be against abortion and against taxes to be a Republican Party, and you have to be for abortion and for taxes to be a member of the Democratic Party.
Right.
That's the way those two parties are always going to vote.
Right.
Theory. What if you're for one and against the other?
Which Yeah.
But there's nobody there to represent you. Now, take a third issue, and all of a sudden, there's still not two choices. Now there's eight choices. Right? And the parties is fundamentally flawed. If there's only four questions, now there's 16 choices. This is a computer scientist in me. So when you get in, there's 100 choices. There's no way the two parties can represent all of us.
Right.
So what needs to happen is each district and each person within each district will define their platform by answering those 100 questions, and then the people will choose who can best represent this district. And
right.
That's what we're supposed to have in Washington, and that's not what we have at all.
Right. Now, the intent of the Founding Fathers regarding the House of Representatives, they made the tenure only 2 years because they expected those people serving to want to get back to their farms and their businesses, and being away for more than 2 years would have been absolutely debilitating to their career. And it was never intended for them to be career politicians. And yet today, when people run for the House of Representatives, they say, well, vote for someone with experience. But that was not the intent. Am I correct, or am I reading into...
You're right on, and that the whole concept of experience is fundamentally flawed. So let me give you two parts of that. One of the core tenets of our system is term limits. You must agree, if you're going to participate in the GO process, that you will vote for term limits, two terms or less, if it comes to vote.
Correct.
No way around that. If you don't agree with that, the system isn't for you.
Right.
And we surveyed members, and it's overwhelming. The people that are responding agree with that. So that is a core tenet of the system.
Right.
Now, the other part of it is a lot of people will say, and this is kind of flabbergasted, and say, well, look, politics don't work that way. You have to have people to get up there and get experience so they can work the system.
Right, work the system. That's right. Work against the people, basically.
Yeah. And I said, wait, listen to what you just said. Politics don't work at all.
That's
right. The reason that 90% of us disapprove of the job Congress is doing is because the system and the process is broke. We
right.
don't want people that are up there that know how to work the system. We want people that go up there with common sense and the best interest of the country in mind, not the interest of special interest groups and not the interest of the party, and not even their own personal interest. What can you do to represent your country and go vote on the thing?
Right.
And if people will go up there and do that, we won't have these outlandish deficits. We won't have taxes, you know, like we have today. And I think you can just kind of see where this is likely to go, but you got to get the politics out of Washington.
This must be very threatening to the major parties because they have done an excellent job in convincing people that they must be loyal Democrats or loyal Republicans. I know so many people who say, well, no, I don't agree with Joe Blow, but I'm a Democrat, so I have to vote for him. I mean, that line of thinking drives me nuts, you know, but yet most people think that way.
Well, and they think that way, you're right. The parties have done a great job because there is no choice, right? Your only choice is Republican or Democrat, so I understand if you go in with, and that's the paradigm, right? That's your mindset. I have to vote for Republican or for Democrat.
Right.
You're going to be associated with one or the other.
Right.
Now, what we're saying is we're going to put a new choice on the ballot, and every person that says, oh, I can't vote against the Democrats, you know, I've got to vote for Republican or vice versa, all of a sudden they're going to have to step back and think and say, well, wait a minute, do I want to continue to vote for either one of these two parties?
Yeah.
Or do I want to vote for Joe here, who's documented how he would vote, who's not taking a penny, is not affiliated with a party, and is not a career politician? And what our surveys show and what common sense says is the people of America will overwhelmingly vote for these Go Party candidates that rise to the top of the system.
Yeah. Oh, geez, that's, you know, when I first read, I did not read your book, I didn't have an opportunity to read your book yet, but I, you know, I went through your website, and at first blush, I said, these guys are smoking something really strong. But the more you think about it, the more logical it is, because what you're doing is you're working with a large base of people who are actually participating. And that's I think, a key to the success of this.
It is, right? And what we have to work through, right, is it's the classic innovator's dilemma. Any new idea takes time. There's only 1% or 5% of the population that will pick up a new idea initially. And it doesn't matter if the new idea, you know, is a cell phone or a digital camera or a laptop computer. It's a very small percentage. But if the idea resonates with the people will ultimately take it, and then you'll have, you know, 90% of the people carrying cell phones or digital cameras or laptops or whatever.
Right.
This is the same way, right? We're just in the very early stages, but we vetted the idea with enough people that are just like you. They say, well, yeah, this sounds crazy. It'll never work. But as you get into it, as you listen, and as you look for the holes in the process, you start to say, well, wait, this could work.
That's
and
right.
So and tell, right? I'm counting on you're going to tell 5 or 10 or 100 or 500 people, and they're going to go through that exact same mindset. And in time, this will permeate the country, and the people are going to say, this can and will work if only the people will participate.
What's interesting is that you will get Republicans, you will get Democrats, you will get independents and libertarians and Reform Party people. Everyone could participate in this because everyone has a say. So you're not excluding anyone, which is really the gem of this whole thing.
And think about it. It's non-threatening, right? You can participate in this process, and then you can say, you know what? I don't like the person that rose. I like my Republican or Democratic candidate better.
Right.
Fine. Still vote for those people.
That's right.
What we're trying to say is let's put a new choice on the ballot, a true choice.
By the way, I have to admit, I registered Republican because I wanted to vote for Ron Paul in the primary. I had run for office twice as a Libertarian, very difficult, as you can imagine, for U.S. Congress. It enjoyed the run, but it was exasperating. But the most frustrating meeting I have ever been at was the Republican caucus. I thought that either everyone else in that room had lost their mind or I lost my mind, because nothing that was going on in that meeting made any damn sense whatsoever. And I could not, and these were lawyers, there were CPAs in this meeting, and they spoke so illogically. I walked out, my wife says, she's never seen me so depressed for 2 days after that. I couldn't get over how bad it was, because I thought I was going to really participate and bring forward the Ron Paul message, which I never even got to. This was just a preliminary caucus in the area. And never wanted to do that again. In fact, I never progressed to the next meeting because I said I can't take it. You know, that's how bad it was. But this I can see is different, because these are people who are actually coming together, you know, and they're going to elect the person who's going to represent the group on the next level, right?
That's correct.
Wow, that's terrific.
That's absolutely right. And it's one of these deals where if you can get the people to participate, there is no reason it will not work.
That's correct. Now, when did you start obtaining participants? How long ago?
The website was launched, I want to say, end of September. The book was actually published in December, so that was kind of our formal start date. And we had a very short runway. We knew by the end of March we needed to have these 500,000 participants so that we could drive the petitions, get on the ballots, and do all the things we needed to do this year. We knew that was a long shot, but that was the goal we set out. We really got some phenomenal press. As I mentioned earlier, we've been on in over 50 cities around the country, but we could never get that national speaking opportunity.
Right.
I don't know if that was because of the Hillary and Barack deal that's going on, or if it was because there were so many people energized behind Ron Paul, or just the fact that it was a election year, or maybe we were just too aggressive to begin with. But it really doesn't matter, right? We said, look, this is what we're going to do. We're going to shoot for 2010. We'll get as far as we can, and if not, we'll come back in 2010.
Yeah. The way you're going now, what is your projected date to have the 500,000 if you continue going in a linear fashion?
So, in a linear fashion, I think it would probably take us 8 years. But the way the internet works and the way publicity works is not that way at all. Once we start to get traction, we believe you're going to see that the classic hockey stick in adoption, right? So I go back to it. I'm not a politician. I'm a computer scientist and an MBA, kind of business guy. And so I understand how to use the internet technology, and I understand adoption curves and all that kind of good stuff. And what we'll see is, we were adding, and we could start to see the little spike where it was starting to curve up. But what we needed was we were adding, a couple of thousand people a week doing local shows, because that's all that was here, the local shows. But as soon as you get that national opportunity, then you can pick up 100,000 and you're going to get other national opportunities, and this thing will take off.
All right. So,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry for interrupting you. I didn't mean to do that.
Well, I was just going to say, the last thing I was going to say, the one thing that we have going for us, and it's a very sad thing, right? I have a 20-year-old and a 17-year-old. I'm really worried about their future. Is 2 years from now, the situation is only going to be worse. I don't think there's any person in America that questions that. A lot of us have hope that someone's going to come in and change. But I'm almost certain, 99.9% certain, that 2 years from now, the deficit's going to be worse. Social Security is not solved. The borders are still going to be open. We're still going to be failing 30% of our kids, in our national education system.
Right.
All of the things that are broken, they're not going to be fixed. So we might have a few Band-Aids on a couple of things,
right,
but nothing major.
Right. I forgot my question now, darn it.
I hate it when that happens.
Oh, geez. Yeah, I know. This is, as I get older, it happens more often, Oh geez, it just escaped me. I was just dying to get this question out, and now it got stuck in my brain. 3 o'clock in the morning, I'll wake up. I'll go, that question. I remember that question now.
Well, if you go to our website, there's a wonderful way to submit questions. You can go to the discussion forums, and start conversations in there. We monitor those and participate frequently. So, you or anybody listening to this show, we encourage you to do so.
Okay.
And really all we're trying to do is get people to check out the system, evaluate the merits of the system, right? It's not going to be for everybody.
All right. And I would like to give you some airtime on my – I air twice a week, and I will give you airtime on this, okay? I will mention it I'll mention as much as I can in support of the system. My question was this. Do you have any nationally recognized shows that are coming up that you've been invited on or that you're going to be speaking at? Like the Larry Kings or whatever,
Yeah, that's been the biggest flaw so far, right, is we have not had any of the national shows pick us up and say, hey, let's go talk to this guy.
Right.
And again, we think a lot of it is they're all so focused on, the presidential election and the primaries of Barack and Hillary. I don't know if it's about you. I'm kind of tired of hearing about that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't even listen anymore. I don't bother. I don't care what happens.
Yeah.
Go to the South Pole for all I care, and I wouldn't care. I wouldn't listen. I wouldn't care,
Yeah.
All right.
So we sit here, and we believe we're going to continue to do the day-to-day work that's required. We're adding, tens or hundreds of people to our site, a day, members and what have you, and we'll continue to build that. And then as we get closer to the 2010 election, so probably late in 2009, we'll start the PR side again. We'll try to get the local talk shows, and we'll try to get the national talk shows. And it's just a function of numbers. Once you get enough people that are doing just like you, learning about this and telling others, and when you start getting emails on this two or three times in a week, then we'll have traction, and then this thing will take off.
Okay, fair enough. Tim, I'd love to continue this conversation for another hour. We only have exactly 1 minute to go. So I'd like to thank you so much for being our guest. This has been fascinating. I feel energized. I wish you all the luck in the world. I will give you airtime, and I do hope you're very successful.
Well, Joe, thanks for having me on, and I really appreciate it. It's going to be up to people like you and me to change what's going on. Nobody else can.
Okay, then we'll have to keep the faith. Thank you so much, Tim, and good evening.
All right, take care.
Wow, that was absolutely terrific, folks. That was terrific. This is the end of tonight's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranchakers Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away or striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. And don't remember, please, don't steal. The government hates competition. Until next time, that'll be Thursday morning at 6:30 a.m. Central Daylight Time. Stay well. Stay tuned.